Let's get real.
Welcome to TBC Today. This podcast features friends in and around the Triad Baptist Church community. Hear encouraging real-life stories from our weekly guests and inspiring insights from our host, Pastor Rob. To learn more about Triad Baptist Church in Kernersville, North Carolina, visit us online at tbcnow.org.
Well, we're flying through this year. It's hard to believe that it's November, and coming up right away is our Loving the Least Sunday. Now, that's a special Sunday for foster care and adopted families. It's a ministry here at our church. You can learn more about that on our website at tbcnow.org, and encourage you to check that out. Come and be with us this Sunday. But today, we've got a special group, little group with us. It's the first time we've done this. Some of my favorite people are here, the sons of Scott and Heather Steele. And so you're not going to get to hear Heather today, but you're going to get to hear from the boys. Pastor Rob's going to have a conversation with them about foster care and adoption. These guys were adopted into the Steele family within the last few years, and they may talk more about that when we get there. But I love the fact that they're involved in our church, that they love the Lord, and they're trying to do right. They're teenagers. They don't always do right, but they're trying to do right. Right, guys?
Yeah.
And so they're great help to me. They serve on our greeting team. Julius is a great little actor in our shows, our Christmas show coming up that we're working on. And and Logan helps me a lot here at the church with printing and a lot of the work we do here on the environment of our campus. So I'm grateful for that. So we're going to let Pastor Rob kick this off. He's going to have a conversation with them. Guys, we're going to get real. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Hey guys, thanks for coming. You're probably our youngest audience, so our youngest members to come and be interviewed, and we're excited about that. But I really wanted an opportunity maybe to talk from a kid's perspective or from a teenager perspective about what it's like to go through the journey that you've gone through. So tell me a little bit about yourself in terms of how your life started, where you're from, and then just, you know, how you grew up.
Well, I was born in Lexington. I live in Blues Creek right now. And when I was about 5 years old, I went into foster care with my my sister. She's seven now, but when we went into foster care, she was about a year old.
Okay. Yeah, I was born in Winston-Salem. I think I started foster care at the age of 10, I believe. And I had four brothers, and we all got split up. So that was rough.
Okay, so like, tell us a little more about that. So you're born in Winston-Salem, and you're together as a family at that time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And your mom and dad lived in Winston-Salem, or your mom, or what was the situation like there?
Well, like, so I lived with my mom and dad at like 2 or 3 years. Well, not 2 or 3 years, like 5 years, and then I moved in with my grandparents because my mom and dad split up.
I see.
So then.
Could they not afford to have you? Was there something going on?
There's
that they just
too many of us. So
too many of you?
Yeah, not enough food and stuff like that. So went to my grandparents.
What was that like for you, by the way, to have to move out of your parents' house?
I mean, it was really rough, honestly. Like, I didn't want to move out of I didn't want to move out of there. I was like, you know, either we didn't have like food or like we didn't do a lot of fun stuff. I still loved them and cared for them. So it was rough, but.
So you'd go to school and everything, come home from school, and there's like hardly anything to eat?
Yeah.
Did you just go find something somewhere, or what'd you do?
Well, like, we, like, ordered pizza or something. There's, like, we only had, like, 2 meals a day, probably. So, it was hard.
Like, the cupboards were bare, but you were able to order in bring in something like that. I see. But it wasn't just food, was it? I mean, was it hard in other ways, too?
Yeah, like, just, like, walking to school sometimes, stuff, and then, like, clothes.
What would be difficult about walking to school?
Just, like, cold days, you know, like if it's cold and we had to walk to school, it was like really rough on us.
So. Like, were you a mile away from school or what were you?
Probably like half a mile.
Half a mile?
Yeah. But, yeah.
Well, everybody would say it would be rough to walk to school. How was it a little tougher for you?
Probably because I like take care of my brothers in that process too.
Were they younger than you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have one brother that's a year and a half younger than me. One that's 3 and 1 that's 4. Yeah.
So literally you were like the parent to get them to school.
Yeah.
Y'all were going to the same building?
Yeah.
Okay. And so all the way through 10 years of age, you're taking them to school and then you drop them each off or something, or would they know where to go?
They know where to go.
Okay. But you were kind of like their guardian at that point, like protecting them as you got to school.
Leader of the pack.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that was difficult. And just so that environment, it wasn't like it was horrible, but it was tough.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, it was bearable, but definitely in a better place now.
And so when you went to your grandparents, you weren't too upset about that, or you just...
I mean, it was emotional for sure, but I still got to see my mom and dad like every month, I guess. It was hard because like I had to stop being like, I guess, like a father to my brothers. So I had to like...
Why wouldn't they try to keep you together?
Well, like in with the foster care?
Yeah.
Well, they tried to. They tried to... They picked us up from school one day and they said that two of y'all are going to go here and the other two are going to go here. So they just thought it'd be easier for both of us just to split up. So
I see.
That was also difficult as well.
Yeah, like when you say it's difficult, what is that like?
Like when they like moved us, they're like basically taking part of me away. So cause like he's my brother. I've been with him like through all the years. So like I got to see him occasionally, but like it was I guess emotional.
It's family. It's family. So it's tough.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that would be tough. I just was trying to think, what does a 10-year-old kid think when he's getting his brothers taken away from him? I mean, do you feel like helpless, or do you feel like I'm going to get him back somehow, or what do you start thinking?
I mean, probably like lonely and helpless because like that's my best friend, and like I don't, what do I do without him? You know. So.
Did you get depressed?
I mean, I wouldn't say depressed, probably just like sad,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't like hardcore depression, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So you still can function, go to school,
yeah,
all that stuff, but something's wrong.
Yeah.
And did you feel that a lot? Like, I just wonder, you know, to a kid who would have a mom and dad their whole life, do you feel that sense of something's not quite right?
Like right now? Like,
No. Just kind of that time period of being a young kid to a young teenager.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it was like weird, I guess, trying to like call somebody else a mother or father to you because they're trying to be in foster care, and like so you're just like, I mean, I guess you have to accept it because like they're trying to help you and they're like trying to provide for you and stuff, but it was definitely weird.
It would be weird. Like, I almost would feel angry, yet at the same time, I'm appreciative because you're taking me in, but I'm angry at the same time because I can't really function like I want to function with it as a normal family.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about you? How did your things kind of unfold for you?
Well, at the age of about four, I was living with my grandparents and my parents, and then one night, a police officer, he came and picked us up, and I lived with my grandparents, my granddad, for about a week, and then...
Was that scary for you?
Yes, it was, because I had my little baby sister. She wasn't even a year old yet, and he wasn't taking very good care of her, so I'd have to take care of her, and I was only five, so that was kind of hard for me.
Your granddad was not taking care of her?
No.
And you were basically a parent? And how old were you at the time?
I was about 5 years old.
And you remember all that?
Yeah. And then somebody picked us up and took us to this place and started asking us questions. And then we went and lived with my first foster family. Yeah.
Did that feel a little safer? Weird?
It was very weird because I had no clue where they were, and I was pretty much walking to a new place blindfolded, and it was super weird for me, especially I was overprotective with my sister because I had no clue who they were, and I pretty much took care of her most of my life.
You mean you two moved into the foster home?
Yeah, they never split us up. We stayed together the whole time.
Is that something you think you would have fought for if they tried to? Like, would you say?
Yeah.
You would have said, forget it.
Yeah, I would have been like.
Could you have controlled that? Like, could they have told you we're thinking about splitting y'all up, or they never did?
They never told us that they were thinking about splitting us up. We just, because she really wasn't an issue because she was really young, and I would have been very mad if they would have split us up.
Yeah. And so, so you go to the foster home, and it worked out pretty good. Like, they almost let you do some continuing parenting?
Yeah. Pretty much. It was a little weird because I had to pretty much stop, like, parenting her, and I had to, like, let them parent her. It was very weird for me at first, and then I started going to school, and I didn't see her for most of the day, and that was also very weird to me. And I kept moving to different schools every time I went to a new foster home, and that was very weird.
Would you all, y'all would be moved together?
Yeah, we'd be moved together.
I see. And so, like, weird, almost like, did you not want to go to school the first time?
Yeah.
So how did they get you to go? Or did you just say, you're going?
I just pretty much had to suck it up and go.
And thinking about it all day long.
Yeah.
And then you'd come home to her. I mean, like, were you literally ever changing a diaper?
Thank the Lord I did not have to change a diaper. Oh, my goodness. That
did you have
bad.
To, like, find food for her and take care of her in other ways?
At first, I tried to, but then I had to, like, kind of back down because I'd come home and food would be made and I didn't have to do anything for her. It was a little weird having food made and me not making my own food, but then
so,
I
but
got
prior
used
to
it.
The foster family, you had to
yes,
you
I
had
like,
to fend
I
for
fed,
yourself.
I fed her with a bottle and stuff like that and all that,
wow.
Yeah.
And but you were five?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
And we lived
that's
in a great. Hotel before I went to foster care.
So you lived in a hotel?
Mm-hmm.
With grandpa?
With grandpa, grandma, mom, and dad, and me and my sister.
One room?
Yeah, one room, two beds. Yeah. I slept.
You got anything to say? There's nothing could you say to that?
It's hard. You know, I grew up totally different. So yep. It's hard for me to even imagine what yeah. you guys have been through at your age. You
yeah.
know, and it makes me sad, but yeah. to see how they have survived it and have become such great guys makes me, like, really, you know, happy.
Yeah.
So it's a weird emotion.
Yeah, that is incredible. I can't even imagine that. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine what that's like. But you did come to this place where you trusted this
yeah.
foster home. Do you still ever see them, by the way? Or
well, my first foster home, I after they took me to another home and I never saw them again. And occasionally, the last time I saw my foster home before I came here was probably like a year or two ago. But occasionally I call them, they're pretty much my aunt and my uncle. I call them aunt and uncle, and I pretend like those are my cousins because they still pretty much family to me because I pretty much lived with them for a good amount of time. So
yeah.
Occasionally I'll see them.
That's good. That's really good.
And your mom and dad, Scott and Heather, do a lot to keep you guys in touch with your foster families
yeah.
and your brothers, right? You
yeah,
get to
sure.
see. Tell us about how
yeah.
often you get to see your brothers.
Well, due to like the coronavirus and stuff, we haven't been able to see them as much as we did in the past couple of years, but before that, we were like seeing them like every 2 months, and like that was I like that.
Where are they at?
So my brother Jordan, he's
that was the one that moved out when
yeah,
you
yeah.
split 2-2.
Yeah, he got adopted, and then my two younger brothers, they both got adopted. So they're
wow.
doing good right now.
And are they in the Winston area, or are they like all over the place?
All over the place.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure where the place is. But
what do you meet at a restaurant or something like that?
No,
well, like your 16th birthday party. Your like your 16th birthday party, you know. They
well, yeah, yeah.
Got to come to that. So they coordinate. They work together to coordinate.
And you yeah. like that? You really still feel that strong connection?
Yeah.
Especially
sure.
with Jordan or all of them?
All of them, definitely. I care for them. I love them deeply. And there's probably nothing I wouldn't do for them.
So you were like a parent too?
Yeah.
You guys were both like the parents.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel that in you? Like, even now, do you feel this? Like, if a little kid came along, you'd almost could feel that instinct again to parent?
I mean, maybe a little bit, but like now it's different because, like, at a young age, I was trying to be a parent, but not like, and not being a kid. But then, like, when I got adopted, I had to learn to be a kid instead of a parent. So, yeah.
It's shifted a little, and
yeah,
you're okay with that.
Yeah.
You're like, that's better.
Yeah.
Okay.
It probably feels more normal.
Yeah, it does. Sure.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Out of curiosity, how do you think that plays out in your life today? Like, do you see any of those things that you've been through affecting anything that you do today or any way you think today?
I mean, yeah, some of the things in my past have affected some of the things I do, but you know, I've taken therapy for that, and like I think I've gotten over that, and it feels good once you do. But like, yeah.
Is there an example you could give that you'd feel comfortable sharing?
What challenges do you have from your past that you deal with now? Do you have to maintain?
Probably just like missing my parents, honestly, and then like, yeah, that's probably one of the biggest things.
Where are they at?
I'm not sure, honestly.
They don't have any role in your life at all.
Not right now, I'd say.
And you want to though?
Eventually, yeah.
Like you'd want to find out where they're at and go
yeah.
see them.
Yeah.
And what would you say to them?
I mean, I tell them I love them still, even though, you know, they put us through this, surely. But you know, it's an unconditional love. So.
And you would be like, I still love you. Almost like I forgive you.
Yeah.
You do feel that in you?
Yeah.
But you'd want to reestablish a relationship.
Yeah, eventually.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's incredible. How about you, Julius? You were shaking your head there. That's why I was looking while you were shaking your head, and I was just...
Yeah. I it's been about 6 years since I've seen my parents. When we were first in foster care, we did visits. Like, we'd go to a place and see my parents. And I feel the same way he does, because it was pretty much their fault that we had to go through this, because it was their choices. But I still love them because they're family and they're my parents. And yeah, like he said, it's unconditional love.
That's incredible. That's a powerful thing right there. The power of family. To even forgive them for, you know, what they put you through, in a sense.
Yeah, but, like, also, if, like, they didn't put us through these things, we probably wouldn't be where we're at now. Like, you know, if we didn't go through the hardship, we couldn't make it out to the good stuff, you know?
What's some of the good stuff?
The family I'm with now. I love them more than anything. Like, we may have our hard times, but, you know, then, like, church. And, like, when I was with my mom and dad, I didn't go to church. I didn't know Christ and stuff, but, like... Once I came here to my adoptive family, then, you know, I get closer to God and Christ and stuff, and that's, like, such a great thing to me.
And you maybe never would have had the opportunities, what you're saying, so God sovereignly kind of used that mess.
Yeah.
And you're okay with that.
Yeah.
You're pretty young to be okay with that, you know, because a lot of kids hold resentment, even who haven't even been in foster programs, and they hold resentments just in life for how they get let down or their parents let them down, but you... I'm just amazed the maturity I'm hearing from you that just, and maybe because of your difficult times, it's made you so mature to think through this as well as you are.
Yeah. I mean, like, also you can't, like, take things for granted either. Because, like, seeing the things I didn't have when I was younger and seeing things I do have now, I just, like, you got to make this work. And, you know.
What do you mean you got to make it work? Like, I'm going to hold on to this.
Yeah, I'm going to hold on to this and not let it go.
I'm not going
to
let it go. No matter what happens. No matter what happens. Even if they disown you, you're going to say, no way.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
You both talked about the choices that your biological parents had made and how that affected you. How does that motivate you guys to make the right choices, the right decisions at your age and even going forward?
Well, for me, like, the motivation I have is I want to be a great dad. And I want to make sure my kids don't have to go through that stuff. And I want to, like, give them food to eat on the table, a nice place to live, you know, stuff like that. And I want to show them Christ and make sure they have everything they need and things they want.
Give them a good foundation.
Yeah.
And then they can make something in their life from that. And that's, I think that's the role. It's very clear to you that you want to play. I don't even think most kids think like you. Be honest with you. I think if I had another teenager in here, he would be talking about, you know, I want to play for the Celtics. You know, that would be his only goal in life. Or, you know, it'd just be so. But you're thinking at a much deeper level about life because you've been forced to. And your pain has really forced you to think that way. Like, I want to be a really good dad.
Yeah.
That's incredible. How old are you? 16?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, 16. Who's really thinking about being a dad, you know, and being a good dad? That's just, I admire that. I'm amazed how God does use that in a way that most kids aren't there. How about you, Julius? What do you think? Do you want to be a good dad? Or that far? Are you that far too?
Yeah, pretty much. It's pretty much what he said, because I don't want them to go through what I had to go through at a young age. I want them like he said, to have food on the table, a nice house and all that. And because it'd be horrible living with myself if my kids had to go through stuff like that.
Yeah, horrible meaning like you let them down?
Yeah, I let them down.
And you know that feeling?
Yes, I know that feeling.
And so you'll never want it to happen to somebody in your family, even if it was immediate family, whatever.
Yeah.
You think that's what motivates you to be so forgiving?
Yeah, I feel like it does because I've had to forgive a lot of people in my life, including myself, for some things that I've done because it's just going through what I had to go through. You have to have a lot of forgiveness, and it's hard to do that, but you have to learn that forgiveness is good, especially for people that you love, like my biological parents and stuff like that.
Well, were you taught that, or do you feel that in your gut?
Well, I have been taught that through my parents now and through my family because they've forgiven me for a lot of things that I've done. And so I've just had to learn that I have to forgive more too.
That's good. You got a thought there?
I was listening.
Okay, I thought maybe you had a thought. Some great thought again. You know, they only come so much, right?
Yeah.
So tell us, how did you come to know Christ? How did you learn to have a relationship with Jesus? When did that come in your life? And what is that like for you now?
Well, Christ was introduced to me at like 10, probably. I rode the gospel light bus, but I don't really know what it was. You know, I've been saved at a young age, but that's because, like, other people were doing it, and I wanted to, like, follow them, I guess. And, but I wasn't really, like, in touch with Christ. But then, like, going into foster care, a lot of the foster families I was with, they, like, went to church and stuff. And so I kind of got to know them a little bit more there. But then my adoptive family now, they're all for Christ and Jesus and stuff. And, like, they've showed me the things he can do and, like, how powerful prayer is and how much he loves us. And it's just a great thing that, like, some people just don't even know what it is. And if they did know what it is, they wouldn't want to let it go either.
That's neat. That's really neat. So what are some of your dreams and goals that you have in, like, say, for the next 10 years? What are some of your dreams?
Obviously, I want to be a great dad, but I want to grow my relationship with Christ a lot more than it is right now. Because, like, I see people like you, Pastor Rob, that are, like, I feel like you're just there with God. Like, you're there with him. And when you preach, it's amazing and stuff. And I want to be, like, how close you are to God.
I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. Yes, now, I don't write any rap songs, so, you know, so I'm not that good at that.
We all got our talents.
Have any of those, anybody enjoy those? You didn't play it for me, but he wrote a rap song the other day in the office. Have you heard it?
Oh, I've heard it. I love all of his.
Do you really?
Yeah.
And he writes the words and everything.
Yeah, he writes the words. Yeah. It's amazing. I love listening
to it. Can you give me a little beat line?
Oh.
He can, not me.
You recently recorded. You got to record a song. Give him just a little bit of.
Where at?
Three words.
It was at this music producer. I forgot the name of it, but it was a great experience.
Local?
Yeah, local.
Oh, cool.
It was a lot of fun.
And what, did he do it free?
No, it was.
You had to pay the guy. Yeah, you should have told him your story, and then he'd give it to you free.
Yeah,
it's a birthday
gift. But honestly, you recorded a song with that.
Yes, sir.
Like, where are you putting it out on? Podcast or something? Or what is it you put it out on? I forget. What do you put it out on when you sell
Spotify
something?
Or Spotify. Spotify. We're the podcast.
Applefy. You put it out on Applefy.
We're still trying to get there. So
give a little bit of that three words.
Like you just tell you like a verse or something?
Yeah, go ahead. I want to hear a verse.
So the chorus is like, three words, eight letters, and I'm yours. And if you with it, girl, I'll drop everything on the floor. Learn to be alone, cause nobody lasts forever. But when I'm with you, girl, I swear life one league is better. I'm sorry if I change, I guess it's just the weather. We can't go our separate ways, cause losing you ain't clever. I do anything to keep you, it's impossible to lose you. You got me wrapped up around your finger, it's like voodoo. I fell in love too quick, now I'm stuck with nothing to do. And when I write about you, I feel so much closer to you.
Sudo?
Voodoo.
Voodoo.
Yeah.
Oh my God, so
we're gonna get you a chain and some sunglasses. And
oh dear,
that's incredible! You did all those words.
Yeah.
What do you do? Sit in a room and just like your mind just starts running?
Yeah, basically. Well, like what I do, I think about something I want to write, and then.
But how'd you come up with the word voodoo? I mean, that's kind of weird.
Like,
it rhymes.
No. Like you got me wrapped up around your finger. It's like voodoo. Like
you're no, hypnotized.
Like, yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you do try to think of a word that rhymes with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Both of these guys are very creative in their own rights. How have you used that creativity to sort of channel you during some dark times, some dark periods?
Well, music has always been, like, my outlet, I guess. But there's, like, a point where, like, it wasn't the best thing for me because I wasn't listening to the best music at the time.
What about you, Julius? Why are you on the stage? Why do you like to act? And is that a creative way of just sort of...
I figured out that I love to act when I first came to this church. Jeremy was doing a play, and he asked me to do it, and it turns out that I thought this was pretty cool, but my mom in the play was actually my mom right now, and I started doing that, and then somebody came up to me and was like, "You got acting in your blood," and I was like, "Man, it was kind of fun." And then ever since then, it's just I've loved being able to put myself out there and show my creativity and my skills to show that if someone who's gone through something that I have and I'm doing this now, that somebody who's going through it right now can get through it and have a great life and all that.
That's cool. That is really cool. Like, I remember when I first saw you act, it was that commercial we made, and they took you back in the 50s, and it was the emergency room, and I was amazed at how you could role play that so well. Like, you can actually put yourself in a situation where you're not conscious of yourself, and you become that person, and that's unusual. That is a gift, because to go out of that, most kids at your age are like, "It's time for a supper, Mom." That's how they act, you know? And they know the line, but they don't know how to really escape and get into that world. Is that just something you feel like is a gift for you, or is there something you've done to develop that? Or
I feel like it's a gift for me, but I've also had help from learning that from, like, Jeremy and my mom and all that. And I practice a lot. Like, I actually have a script for my Christmas play in my bag. Like, when I have free time, I'll just read through my lines and all that.
That's my boy. That's so cool. And they are great.
Let's do a shameless plug right now. Christmas at the end, the first weekend of December. Make sure you guys come see. It's a free show. You're going to love it. You'll see Julius on stage and a lot of other people. I'm done. Okay.
All right, is there anything else you'd like to say or tell us or tell our audience about yourselves that maybe we didn't hit or something that you'd like to say?
I think we hit about everything.
I got questions.
Okay, go ahead.
So what does adoption mean to you? The word adoption, what does that mean?
To me, that means like someone loving and caring for you so much that they're going to take time out of their place to bring you into their family and give you the things you need but still show you love. Like, even though you're not going to be their child, but you're still going to be their child, you know? So.
How do you correlate that spiritually?
I mean, I guess it's kind of like, you know, us being childs of God. Because, like, for me going to, like, okay, so let me put it like this. So, like, when someone's not saved, let's say that's, like, someone looking to be adopted, right? So, God's going to be the parent, and then when God saves us, we get adopted. That's kind of like when a mother or father is looking to adopt a son, and they adopt him, they're going to show him unconditional love no matter what they do.
And we get to share in all the riches.
Yeah.
Right?
That's good, though. That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
Tell us, well, you have something you want to say?
No. Okay.
Tell us about, like, what would you tell people who enter into foster care program, or why should they enter into it? And if they do, what's the best way to love kids? Answer any part of that.
Well, the thing that I always loved when I was in foster care is someone not calling me, like, I love someone calling me, like, even when I wasn't adopted, I love how they call me son. Like, I didn't get to use that word very, very much going through different foster care homes. And then with my family now, I loved in foster care how they called me their son. And I was able to call them mom and dad. And that just felt very good for me. And it just felt like I actually belonged in the
family. So that's something somebody should be aware of.
Yes, like
But like you did say,
treat them like your real.
But you did say earlier though that you called the one people aunt and uncle.
Yes, I called them aunt and uncle after I went to. I called them aunt and uncle after I went into the next family, and then my first family.
What'd they call you?
They called me by my name. They didn't use son very much. And
but you did like it if they would say it?
Yes, I did. I would have very liked that because it just felt like I was really in their family. My first family, I called them grandma and grandpa. And I called my family now mom and dad, and they called me son. And I just
love it.
Yeah, I loved it.
Isn't that incredible how that's in all of us?
Yeah.
You know, just that feeling of wanting to be a part of something, a family. And so what are your thoughts on, like, how can people – why should people get involved in foster care? And then the other side of it was, what's the best way to love a kid in foster care program?
I think people should get into foster care because, like, there's so many kids out there in need of a mom and dad that they don't have, or a father figure or a mother. And I feel like a kid really cherishes the moments they spend with someone that loves them as much as they do. So I feel like
But don't they have, like, acting out and they are angry and they don't want to get along with you? I mean, don't you have a lot of obstacles to overcome? Do you feel like that happens? I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of obstacles to overcome, but if you get over those obstacles, there's going to be good greatness in the end, you know? You're going to be happy in the end if you get over those obstacles.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd tell people of what they could do to love kids in foster care program if they did get involved in it?
I mean, you just gotta show them love because it takes time for them to readjust to the new environment they have and not, you know, do the same things they did at a younger age. So
if you took, say, Heather and Scott out of your life and you never ended up in that family, what would that be like for you?
I've actually thought about that before. If like it was very weird, like if I would have stayed with the family before them, I would have never met my brothers, and it would have been different for them too because they might have adopted another kid, and it would have just been very weird because I would have been so used to staying. That would have been that's my family, and I wouldn't have never met my grandma, my grandpa. I would have never came to this church. I would have never met my Uncle Jeremy. I would have never met Logan or any of them.
So it's like it's just impossible. Yeah. It's impossible to think about that
because I've been in this family for 6 years now. So
it would have been like a dark hole.
Yeah.
As opposed to just the light. It's like you've seen the light and you just love it.
Yeah.
I can feel that from you, your energy. What about you?
You've been in the family 4 years.
5 years.
5 years.
Yeah. Honestly.
You're growing up.
Yeah, it's crazy. Honestly, if I didn't like move to Heather and Scott's, then, there's no way I'd be involved in the church as much as I am now or even go to church. So, yeah, that's one of the things. And also, like, I feel like I've been part of this family, like, forever. And, like you said, it's like, can't even fathom not being with them. Mm. So.
That's incredible. You call them mom and dad?
Yeah.
Okay. And they call you son?
Yeah.
Do they call you other things, too?
Occasionally.
Not on air. I love the fact that you guys are involved, and I love when we have our teenagers involved in different ministries of the church. Why do you guys serve? Why are you looking for opportunities to serve in the church like you guys do?
Well, I love the community in the church. I love everybody here. Everybody's so, like, everybody, they always have a smile on their face, and it's just fun for me to serve other people because I love to please people.
For me, I gotta say, like, I don't know, I just love helping people, and I feel like helping people is, like, I don't know, good for me, and, yeah.
Keeps you busy.
Keeps me busy, too.
Yeah, back, you know, when COVID hit, and we were doing all the shutdowns, and then the startups and stuff, I mean, these guys were there every Sunday morning with me about 7:30 in the morning. We were spraying down and cleaning and setting up, and these guys, them and the other brothers were there just really working and serving behind the scenes, and people probably didn't even know that. But I mean, that was a great thing because we were able to get our doors open, get people back because we had volunteers like you guys.
Yeah.
Who are people that inspire you, and what do you want to be like 10 years from now?
I think I have a lot of inspirations. Like, you'd be an inspiration to me, like, because, you know, you care for people so much and you love helping people so much, and that's like something I want to have more than I have it now. And then, like, my mom and dad, my mom, like, I want to be like my dad right now, because he's a great father figure to me, and he helps me out so much with so many things, and he does a lot more than he thinks he does, so he's just great. And my mom, of course.
That's great.
She's all right.
She's all right.
People who inspire me are my brothers, my older brothers, because like Logan, he's gone through some things, and seeing him like now, like all the things he's doing, like with helping the church, and it just inspires. Like, I'm like, when I get to that age, I want to be just like that. And then my other brother, like Brody, he's just a great brother to me, and he's always kind to me and stuff like that.
Brody?
And,
no, I'm kidding. He is. He's awesome.
And then same with my brother Hampton. Like, when I first came, it was them two, and they treated me like I was really part of the family. When I came part of the family, I felt like I've always been here and all that.
It's almost like you're normal.
Yeah, it's just like
you fit right into the world now.
Yeah, I fit right into the world now. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to hear you guys' testimonies and just some of your thoughts. I love it.
You know, someone said to me recently that these guys that were adopted into the Steele family were really lucky to get into that family and that church. And, you know, I said, you know, we were the lucky ones because we got these guys. And so they're just as much family to me as anybody else. And we're the lucky ones to get them. And I think that has proven to me over the last several years the importance of foster care and adoption, and how valuable that is for us as believers to bring other people in, because sometimes we think we're doing that to help other people, but really God's using those people to help us and to change us. And I would say for sure you guys have changed me, and I think for the better. I feel like that. So we're just proud of y'all.
That's great. Hey, thanks for coming today. I'll tell you what, I'm really proud of y'all to just be willing to do this. I know you felt a little nervous doing it, but you guys just really bared your heart, and it was just wonderful. I really appreciate it. Appreciate what God's going to do in your lives. It's great.
Sir, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, we're excited about our Loving the Least ministry here at Triad Baptist Church. It's a foster care and adoption ministry, and you can learn more about that on our website, tbcnow.org. So check that out and join us for Loving the Least Sunday coming up this month. We're excited about that as well. If you like this episode, then make sure you like it and share it, follow us, tell others about it, and we'll see you on our next episode.
Thanks for joining us this week on TBC Today. We want to connect with you, so make sure to visit our website, tbcnow.org, and subscribe, rate, and review the show in iTunes, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend, and be on the lookout for our next conversation.